You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
All right, what you are in now is podcasting to increase your search engine rankings. And I'm wanting to see, want to make sure that you are in the right room. We are starting late. And I cannot get the screen to show up on this little laptop, so we'll just have to go from here. What I may end up doing is, well, I'm going to have to go from memory. That's what I'm going to have to do. My name is Penny Haynes. I am with First Podcast Publishing, and this is my site. At least that's where I put the lesson for today. I am used to teaching about podcasting. I am a completely virtual businesswoman and have been up to this point, which means everything that I do, including my online classes, are done virtually in audio, video, or audiovisual conference rooms. So I don't get to do this very often, which is why I'm not prepared for this little doohickey. How many of you have actually thought about podcasting as a tool to increase search engine rankings? Raise your hand if you have. All right, so maybe a third of you in here. Most people think about podcasting just in order to get the word out, okay? Or they have a message and they want to post it, kind of like having your own internet television or internet radio show. The problem is that people forget that search engine rankings have been and always will be, for the most part, text-based. Even though we do have those that are searching audio files and searching video files, right now most podcasters are wasting their podcasts. Now, if I go through a podcast, for the most part, you want to know what I see? If I'm looking at their shows, maybe I'll see some show notes. Maybe I'll see a one-liner about what it's about. And rarely do I ever see a link back to the person, to their own domain name with their name in it, a link back to their own business, link back to their businesses. And this tells me that people aren't fully getting the fact, tacking on to the Podcasting 101 class, that you're using RSS. What you're doing is you're using a web page that is able to syndicate your content everywhere. And when you create a podcast or a blog, but particularly a podcast because there are lots of podcast directories. Now, I know there's the top three podcast directories, but those podcast directories are about podcasting or podcasts. What you also want to do is find podcast directories that are niche-oriented to your topic. Why? I just came from a marketing experiments meeting where advertising that's done in a native environment, in other words, the ad looks like and fits the context of whatever the content is on the page, had 127% increase in hits and conversions. So this tells us that when people are reading our blog, number one, if they're reading your blog, they're listening to your podcast, they're already giving you a chance. If they've done it more than once or twice, most likely you've befriended them and they trust you to a certain point. The longer they listen to you, the more they trust you. So for you to be able to share with them your products, your services, whatever it is, it might even be a theory or a way of teaching, okay? Something that you are promoting that you want to get out. This is important because if it's in your post, even as a podcast, then it's going to be submitted to podcast directories and then it will be syndicated. And what people don't understand that podcasting is the least expensive, most efficient search engine optimization tool that there is. Now, how many of you would give hundreds or thousands of dollars to know that the moment you put up any content, it was going to be on hundreds of pages all over the web? That's what we die for, right? You want buzz. Search engine robots focus on certain criteria when they're looking at sites. And some of these criteria are that it is dynamic content. In other words, it's not just a plain old website that doesn't change. The search engine robots want to come to sites where there is continually changing content. But even more so, it's looking for content that matches, guess what? The name of the website, the title of the post. It has to be cohesive within it. So there are so many other things that we could be doing with our podcast by realizing our podcast is also a blog. You don't have to have two. I use my podcast as my blog, and I utilize all of the things that I know about keywords, about search engine optimization, even let's say within links that I put inside the blog post. If you follow the basics of that information, then you will optimize this. And remember, search engines, another thing that people don't understand is that when they find a link on a page, they will follow it. So if you have a blog post or you have a podcast and you put a link on it, it's going to follow it. And people go, well, why would I put a link back to my own podcast in my own podcast? When you submit your podcast to the podcast directories and the search engine robots crawl all over the podcast directories, they find the link to your podcast. They're on your podcast, but they're not on your podcast. They're on the podcast directory. And then what does the search engine do? Come to there. Come to your podcast. So these are little things that you need to just switch the mentality that you have of what a podcast is. It's not just creating an audio file. Granted, my definition, and I have to do this all the time, I give free podcasting sessions online to groups, you know, where I'll come and I'll speak to their group and show them podcasting and podcatching and RSS and syndication. So over and over every week, I have to describe podcasting, RSS, syndication. My definition, geek-wise, of a podcast is an RSS feed with an enclosure. If you were in here previously, and I also have to explain to them what an RSS feed is. An RSS feed is simply a web page with a different browser, with the exception of Internet Explorer that now reads, you know, RSS feeds, the 7.0, which I won't touch. But when you look at an HTML page on a regular web page, you really don't know what it is. You've got all this coding and all this gobbledygook behind it. It has to be read through an internet browser, correct? Firefox, Internet Explorer, Safari, whatever it is. Well, when I pull up in these classes a picture of what XML coding is, an RSS page, I show them it's just got different tags. It has different things, and it is coding, but it has to be read by a different browser. We call those browsers RSS readers. And then there are special RSS readers that go one step further, and they scan through all the gobbledygook looking for the enclosure tag, right? The enclosure tag, all that is, if any of us in here are old enough to remember a typewriter, okay? And especially the females, the guys probably never had to do this, but typing a letter, having to put a brochure or something, another piece of paper in the envelope, what did you type at the bottom of the letter? ENCL, enclosure. So therefore, you have the letter and you have an enclosure with it, and when they open it, both had better be there or you're in trouble. An RSS feed is just like that. Think about it. The enclosure is the link to the audio file you have created and uploaded somewhere. It's that simple. So I also have to explain to people the difference between downloading and streaming. Do you know that the Small Business Administration, I went to their site because I have a site called the Women in Business Podcast Directory. So I thought, well, I'll go check out their podcast. And they say, yes, check out our podcast. And you click on the link and there is a page, a web page, not an RSS page. And all it has is MP3, links to MP3s, a little square that says pod. And they think they're podcasting. If there's no RSS feed, you are not podcasting. If you cannot download it, meaning click on it and it asks you where to save it on your computer, it's not a podcast. So those are the bottom line geeky things to explain a podcast. But otherwise, I just tell people, when you're talking to people about podcasting, scrap the word podcasting until they really figure out what it is. What you're offering them is internet, TV, and radio that people can subscribe to and have the programs delivered to their computer. It's so much simpler. People can get that idea. And then these podcatchers, these RSS readers that look for the enclosures, these are called podcatchers. And these podcatchers are doing what? Scanning, grabbing the enclosure, and downloading it for them. So I'm bringing this all together to say, RSS is so important for you to understand the power of it. I was once doing this class, and somebody said, what about duplicate content? In other words, you have it on your site, you put it on the podcast directories, it's all over the place. And one of the other students said, well, what about AP? News comes out, and then every other news, Yahoo News, Google News, Fox, CNN, whoever it is now distributing that same content. That's not illegal. That's not wrong. That's smart. So what you want to do is, number one, understand that your podcast has to have text on it in order for the search engines to be reading it. Yes, sir. Perfect question. A podcast is nothing more than a blog, basically. Remember, if you were in here with Podcast 101, and he had WordPress and he had PodPress. Another option that you have is just to have a WordPress blog or blogger and run it through something called FeedBurner, a free service. And that will, but you have to do something in particular. You have your blog wherever it is, okay, and it'll normally give you an RSS link to it. Like on a WordPress, in the bottom right, it'll say RSS, and it'll tell you what the link is that you would give to other people to subscribe. So as long as you have an RSS link of a blog, if you've already got one, you just go to FeedBurner, and it says, big old spot, drop your RSS link here. Then it says, are you a podcaster? Click yes. Continue. And then it walks you through the steps and creates a podcast feed. It's called the SmartCast podcast feed of your blog. But this is what they don't tell you. There can only be one enclosure in an RSS feed. What's an enclosure? Your audio, your video file. You could actually put in Word documents, zipped files, all sorts of things. And what they don't tell you is, if you have more than one enclosure, it will just pick the first one and make that your podcast enclosure. Now, normally, people only put one enclosure. You know, they have a blog and they put one link in it. But what if you're also including maybe a link to a PDF file, which does happen? Press releases, these come with a link to the PDF file on PR Web. So you have to make sure that the very first link that you put, a link to your MP3 file, wherever you've put it at the top of your post, and then write the rest of your blog. And then it runs through FeedBurner. Have I lost you? It's so much easier to show it, and I can't get there.
We have a question over here.
Hi, Richard Curry, and I just blog, but will it notice the RSS feed a image as an enclosure, or does
No.
it just pull that
Mm-mm.
through as an
Nope.
image?
It is only recognizing certain things. Image, remember, image is going to be the image tag, so it's not going to look for that. So no, you're safe. And believe me, I've asked myself, what will it do, you know, if I put something in there? But I have had times where I have an MP3 file and a PDF. I have to make sure that MP3 file gets listed first so that FeedBurner will burn that as the enclosure and not the PDF file. Yeah.
Wait.
It's Kathy Shields. Are you then writing your own RSS and then rearranging the feed?
No.
It's just so that when... How are you putting it in then?
That's the beauty of this. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, anybody can create an RSS feed, and I would love to be able to put these up. By the way, at firstpod.com, I have all this information for free. Where to get WordPress, where to get PodPress, how to get Podcast Generator, which is also for free, which you don't need either of them. All sorts of information, just firstpod.com. Freebie. All right, all sorts of stuff. So once you have one of these free tools that creates an RSS feed, you couldn't pay me to handwrite, to hard code an RSS feed. Once you have that, then FeedBurner is just a free service that will take it and rewrite it into another XML code. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Right.
Here we go.
Bad girl.
I know, well, it's just where I started, and I'm just there, and I'm looking for other options, but, you know. Okay, so anyway, I upload them. It automatically creates an RSS feed for
yes.
the main, my main podcast page, and
mm-hmm.
then it creates individual RSS feeds for the individual
no,
episodes.
That's the part where you're getting confused.
I think it has. I mean,
there's
one
main RSS feed,
mm-hmm.
and then you have posts. An RSS feed will start out, and if you look at it, it's got all the tag and information about that.
Yeah.
So unless you have different RSS feeds for different channels.
If I open an individual post, I could get an RSS just for that post, it seems.
No, what that is, it's not an RSS for that post. It's a link to that particular item.
Well, okay. I know it says RSS at the end.
It says RSS at the end because that's the link, but it says RSS probably ID blah, blah, blah with the post. But it doesn't create multiple RSS feeds from an RSS. You have one RSS and each individual post then has an ID number most likely associated to it.
It's getting updated and then each episode is added on to.
Yes, that the long thing is the RSS feed.
Yeah.
The individual posts that get added to it are just items within it, but they are not separate RSS feeds.
I guess what I'm asking is how do you control the order of not
the date.
Okay.
If you can predate and post date, that changes the order of them. I'm sorry, guys. Yes.
One of the things I do to make sure that I don't get my primary, because I use my blog to post my shows, is one really cool feature in WordPress is the categories.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually, what I do is anything that's an episode goes in the podcast category.
Right.
And then I use the RSS link to only that category page for FeedBurner. That way, FeedBurner only picks up my episodes. It doesn't
pick up
my PDFs or anything like that.
Very excellent suggestion. That's right.
We have another question back here, too.
Yeah. Sorry about this, guys. I'm not really going through this. I'm just kind of trying to get it out there. Yes.
Thank you. I'm Julie Squires, and I'm definitely beginner learner.
Okay.
Just learned I'm a fake podcaster. I'd like to be a real podcaster.
You and the SBA. I know. It's okay.
And go back to an earlier question, how do you put text on a podcast? And you answered that by saying you do an RSS link of your blog. What if you don't have a blog?
That's the point. This is actually a little bit more advanced. You would need to understand the podcasting 101.
Mm-hmm.
Did you sit in through that class?
No, I was a late arrival.
So chances are, for me to explain that, I'd have to back up. But you and I can sit down during lunch.
Let's do that.
And I will explain it to
Thank you,
okay? All right. So let me see where I was, what we're talking about. So you've got an RSS feed, which is like a cable channel. And I always think of syndication, you know, like Friends or Dear Abby and that kind of thing. And once it goes out there, it goes out everywhere. The difference is when it's on the internet, you know that the search engine robots are going to crawl on it. So there are certain things. I know I'm going to run out. I don't even know what time it is now. Yep, it's time to go. Let's start at 15 minutes late. Write down these key things as to what you want to do to increase your search engine ranking. Number one, you need to be podcasting because you really shouldn't be submitting blogs to podcast directories. So even if it's a one-minute file of quality, because if somebody listens to it, all right, who is someone of your target market, which, by the way, podcasting allows you to pre-qualify clients. Why? Because if they took the time to come to a podcast directory and find your category and open your podcast, they're a pre-qualified client for whatever it is you have to offer. So when they do decide to click on your link and listen to your podcast, it better be good. Because there are so many podcasts out there that if you mess up, the first time they say, oh, go ahead and play. I'm not one of the idea that you go play with your business. It's just like playing with advertising for your business. If you just want to do a personal podcast, that's fine. But if you're doing something for your business, don't put it up unless it's going to reflect you and your business, your excellence and your integrity. So have a file. It might be 1 minute, you know, your 1 minute tip for the week. But make sure you put it on there. Then you always have two areas. You have a place for a main description and an extended description normally on a blog or a podcast feed. It's the same thing. Think of it as a blog with an attachment, an enclosure. Okay. So when you do that, you want to make sure that your text in the text portion of your podcast, that you're doing it like a blog. A lot of people, however, don't know how to optimize their blog, neither. Number one, your title. Make sure you use keywords in the title. Make sure you use the name of your company, whether it's sponsored by, and the name of your podcast, unless it's really, really long. So I have Brainstorm Business Podcast, : whatever my key subject is, sponsored by First Podcast Publishing. Nobody cares how long it is. But you know what? I want all those keywords out there, so I'm going to put it in the title. Then I'm going to go down to my first paragraph. Do you know that the search engine robots compare the title to make sure it matches your first paragraph? So make sure your first paragraph is bolded, one line. Make sure that it's got the content from your title and whatever keywords that you have. Then after that, drop down. Try and keep your sentences to about 13 words per sentence, no more than 3 or 4 sentences per paragraph. It's easier for reading. This is for reader purposes. But use your keywords. Now, I know I'm running over one thing here. Keywords are not what you think they are. I want to say that again. Keywords are not what you think they are. Keywords are not what you think people are searching for in order to find you. Keywords are whatever people are already searching for where you can show up. You follow me? I always thought, oh, people are searching for podcast. No, people were searching for podcasting, or vice versa. I forgot which one it was. So I need to be found wherever people are already searching. So you're going to need to find out what your keywords are. Start putting them in there. And then, this is the key, get domain names that match your keywords. And then forward them to your sites. Use those keywords. Link them. Where do the robots go when they come through? They go to a link and they go through to your site. Make sure it's contextually, that it matches. So in other words, I've got one that is online turnkey website business. If I describe something about my business, I always look to see if I can find the domain name that matches that phrase I use over and over and over again. And then what happens is I put it in, it reads it, it fits the context, they follow through, takes them to a site that is also talking about that subject. So context, content, keywords, links, and domains. These are the things that will transform. If you type in business podcast, which is 190 million, I'm on the first page. Comedy podcast, I'm on the first page. Christian podcast, I'm on the first page. Variety podcast, I'm on the first page. Because this is what I do. I also don't miss a week. Otherwise, I end up on the third page. That's how brutal the competition is. But that's the way it works. So I know I didn't get a chance to do a lot of other stuff, but just in passing, you can either do podcasting for like $7 a month with hosting, or you can pay $1,482 to somebody for a package to search optimize your site, or $1,000 to somebody else for a package, or you can podcast on a regular basis using these things that I've said consistently, and it cannot help but increase your search engine ranking.
When you say podcast on a regular basis, does weekly make a big difference compared to every other or once a month?
Let me tell you this. I'm obsessive compulsive. I normally do every 7 days. And I will get extremely upset. And I thought, oh, come on. I had a bad 2 weeks. I did it every 10 days. I dropped off. I was first page. Now I'm struggling to make sure and stay off on first page. I went down to third page.
Question.
Shannon Clute, just to respond to the last question, we were a featured iTunes podcast with a bi-weekly schedule. We went to a monthly schedule because of other career obligations, vanished. Uh-huh, never got back on.
There's too many other people ready to take your place. So, but it's hard. It takes work, and you will stay up at night. You guys, I don't think I covered everything, but like I said, at First Pod, it's got information about syndication, all this stuff. And I do free classes and online classes, so if you guys have any questions, please do. I do? Oh, I thought it was 11:15 I was done. All right, well then in that case, let me share this. Yes, go ahead.
Have you found that any of the software has been developed yet that will listen to your podcast and create
yes.
a text file?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's already PodSinger.
Is it good?
PodSinger is pretty good. Now, they're new. Their technology is new. I try getting their stuff to use. I also develop RSS technology or RSS software. Once you got the RSS, what can you do with it? So I've created, I'm the only person who sells podcast directory software. And so what we're doing is we just sell it one per niche. That's it. So that we've got the small business podcast directory, women in business, technology, all those kind of things. And so what I did is I wanted to add the PodSinger search, which they will allow you to do, supposedly. They said, go ahead, put this on it. It'll scan through all the audio on your page. I thought, this is great. I'm going to go ahead and put it on. Well, I wrote them, nothing. Called them, nothing. Email, nothing. And, I filled out the information. I was expecting an automated reply, surely. They said, oh, no, the guy in the back hadn't had a chance to do that yet. He was manually coding these things. And so I don't know where they are. The software does work. I've tested it. I just don't know where they are in their development of it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But something else that I teach my clients, when I teach podcasting, I think back on everything I wish I'd done right from the beginning. And that's how I have consolidated. The classes that I do are first introduction to podcasting, which is kind of like what you guys are doing here. But the second thing I do is preparation for podcasting, which is, what is your vision statement? What is your mission statement? Because otherwise, most of us just started a podcast because we liked the subject, okay? Or we wanted to do something. And now if we could go back and do it correctly, we would have named it differently. I mean, notice my name is First Pod, 1STPOD. If it's going to be alphabetical, baby, I'm at the top. Same thing, Brainstorm Business Podcast. Why do people find me? I'm in the bees. Okay? So there are so many things, if you could just roll back time and do it over again, it would have been great. But vision statement, mission statement, from there, picking your keywords, from there, finding those domain names that you can link to and forward to. So once you get that, then you get into podcast production and your content. And you want it to be always focusing on whatever your mission is. What are your clients or the people who are listening to you going to get out of spending 15, 20 minutes, half an hour with you? What are they supposed to walk away with? And so you've got to get the full picture in order to make the most out of your search engine optimization for this.
And I don't know, when you're talking about what will people get out of it, do you have anything to say about creating more of an interactive audience base for...
Actually, I'm going to leave that to Carter Harkins. You guys need to be at the crowdabout.us session that he's going to do. It's all about interactive podcasting. And he is phenomenal. Wait till you see what he has done. So let me see. Oh, so I was talking about podcast directories. Now, what's the use of putting something, your podcast, in a podcast directory that's niche-oriented? Remember we've talked about search engine robots? What are they looking for? Cohesiveness with their content. Do you know if your podcast is found somewhere with a lot of the same cohesive content, then you will be, I guess, it's almost like that native advertising. It gives more relevance to your podcast when you're found on sites that have a lot of that information. That's why these small niche podcast directories are a good boon for that. You are surrounded by other things. On the large podcast directories, which, by the way, I actually have my assistant going through podcastingnews.com's podcast directory, and we're up to probably over a 50% what we call pod fade epidemic. And if you go to Rob Walsh's podcast 411, he's got the directory of directories. Instead of just deleting the dead ones, he's got a big red line through it and smart comments. And dead. This one's dead too. So you want to also make sure that your consistency is there. It really does affect. And in these small niche directories, what I was saying was like over 50% pod fading, which means when people are going to those really huge directories, let's say your subject is languages. So you go to the top and it's in alphabetical order, whatever. And you go through 20 of them and 15 of them are bad or are stopped. They're either bad quality or they're no longer active. Well, you're like down there at number 35 and poor you, they never even went that far. They got so fed up with all the junk in the podcast directory, they didn't follow all the way through. So with these smaller niche directories, you end up being a bigger fish in a smaller pond. They also control the content so that it's all active. So hopefully that will draw more people. And it's about the niche, not about podcasting. It's about whatever the niche is. The last thing that I want to do, yes. No, go ahead.
No, I don't want to.
Oh, all right. So we talked about the importance of putting your podcast, the reason you do a podcast is so you can put it in a podcast directory. Also the ID3 tags that he was talking about before, use ID3-tag-it. It's from Germany. Most of the other ID3 tagging programs let you fill in a couple of fields. This baby will let you just slam links and all sorts of information into it. You use the first tab and the third tab, I think it is. But it's the information is on there, I'm pretty sure, under resources. If not, I need to put it on there. ID3 tag it. If you Google it, ID3 tag it. It's a German program, free. Great, great, great. You can even do multiple podcasts at one time. Let's say your basic information is the same all the way through, and then you just change the episode information. Fabulous, fabulous. All right. And So you want to remember the ID3 tagging is very important. The blogging tricks and knowing what your mission and your vision is from the start so that everything you do is pointing in the same direction. And the other thing I wanted to share is besides the podcast directory software, and this is something which Claudia and I had been talking about, what we are creating now is online community magazines with internet radio and internet TV, which are really what? Podcasts. Online columns, which are really blogs. But you have to word it in the way that other people know. And the software we're creating, the programmers say it'll be done next week, and mine in Cherokee County is going to be the first one. We've got one in London, one in Jackson, Mississippi. But what these are, have you ever seen those around town magazines that you get in the mail? And they're always owned by a realtor. You ever look at it? They're always owned by a realtor. They're brilliant. And what they do is they're having other people pay for advertising, and then they're on the front and the back page. It's beautiful. And I thought to myself, well, you got to pay to be in it, number one. A lot of money. Get in line. And there's nobody in there. The community has no say. Even in the local newspapers, the community doesn't have much say. So I thought, why not take blogging and podcasting and create an online community magazine that has both the internet radio and the internet TV features and a community coupon site? And I'm like, huh. And every person I've talked to, once I've shown it to them how it works, they're like, oh, cool. So that's what we're doing. That's the software that we're doing. And we're going to put one in, hopefully, in every community in the world, because it will become something students, educators, nonprofits, and government get free text feeds. And businesses get, what, a free text feed for $10 a month? What business can't afford that? And they can be on the internet, TV and radio for $20 a month. But what it is, what we've done is we've used Podcast Generator. It's an open source program with Alberto's permission. And we've built it in. So this program will even create the feeds for them. So the people in your community don't have to know anything about any of it. They say, submit listing. It walks them through step by step. And they have it. So this is, you understand why now. Why would the businesses want to be in this? Number one, some of them don't even have a web page. I went through the civic and nonprofit organizations in the list in the Chamber of County, Chamber of Commerce, and out of 74, whatever it was, at least one third to maybe two thirds of them did not have web pages. So this gives businesses in your offline community and online community, and if they do have a web page, links back to it. So there are just so many different things that you can do. So many different things that you can do in order to put an RSS out and syndicate it everywhere. Put your name, put your links to your businesses, and get it all to come back to you. And I don't want to run out. But if any of you are interested in finding out more about that, it's community. It's onlinecommunitymagazines.com. Online Community Magazines.
Any final questions?
And you guys can find me later on. Any questions?
Don't forget your name.
Name is Ken Brown. I'm a business coach, and I have a blog and E3CLink.com, connecting, E3CLink.com. E3C stands for something. Just talk to me later. I had a question. I'm a business coach, and so I'm looking to attract businesses, and you mentioned niche.
Niche podcast. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I work with business coaches.
So where do I find that?
podcastdirectoriesforsale.com, or just there. You go to First okay. Pod. Everything is there. You and I can talk. Nobody's purchased the coach's podcast directory, VA okay. podcast directories, okay. and all sorts of stuff. But yes, we can definitely talk about that.
And the other question was, she uses Podomatic, and you said,
oh, no. I didn't. If I said that, had nothing to do with Podomatic.
I did. I'm like, I'm using Podomatic. I'm
no,
just on my second podcast.
Podomatic at all. I don't know why I made that sound. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I really got lost when you said you were talking about having people find you and putting keywords. Were you talking about putting it in the comment section? Or now I'm kind of confused. I thought I did all the right things, but now I got to go back and see. Yeah, I know. I remember I did that.
Yeah, your keywords can go there.
Right. I think I did that.
It doesn't work sometimes. We found out that the people who are number one, when I do keyword research for people, so you go, I'll go to number one and find out.
I went to that, and the number one site for women's health and fitness was a defunct magazine. The only reason they were up there is because, let's say you were a major magazine, and they had other ways of bringing traffic to their site, so you cannot trust that. What there is a site called Word Tracker, wordtracker.com. Go there, and you'll find out if your keywords are any good or not, because it'll tell you what people are searching for. Word Tracker, it does, but it won't show you Google. I'm sorry if I ran over, guys. Any questions, you guys can find me later.
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on magnatune.com. Thanks for listening to Unconcast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of Unconcast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.